Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is a public service announcement. This is only a test.
Next item on the agenda, Pensacola Beach Gateway Project.
So I'll go over where we're going to pull the money for this from. State funding, it has not been vetoed yet, and we are hopeful it will come through for $1.5 million. TDC has already committed $600,000. That was the money that we were going to use for the changing stations that we reallocated to this. District 4 is committing $1.1 million from our LOST pot. And then I am asking for today that we do $2.5 million, and then we're going to pull $1.3 million from toll revenue. So that would totally fund the project.
That's Ashley Hoffberger, the District 4 County Commissioner, talking about the Beach Gateway welcome sign that we talked about a little bit on Friday. Was it Friday we talked about that? Yeah, and since posting the picture of the proposed new beach welcome sign, we have, I think, 400 comments and counting. And I will say that most of them are not super nice. I mean, you know, people think it's ugly. It's running at least 90-10. 90% of people do not like the design, 10%. There's some other things people are saying in there. This is often the case when you have public comment, is not everybody understands all the facts. One of the things people don't understand is this is not getting rid of tolls. This is getting rid of the existing toll booth and replacing the toll collection mechanism with a sign that will also have toll collection technology built into it. Just for clarity's sake, because a lot of people are like, well, I'm glad they're getting rid of the toll booth. Well, yeah, but it's not going, it's just changing shape, right? I know people are also, you know, well, that's going to do great in a hurricane. I assume that it's been engineered to withstand a hurricane. I assume, you know, I don't know, but, you know, I'll ask that. And we're going to actually talk to Ashley coming up at 7:40 this morning. The issue is that it'd be $700,000 to just replace the existing toll booth. And the toll booth is not great because it looks like a toll booth. And so people from out of town, they drive up to it, and they're like, where's the toll collector? Who do I pay? What do I do? And they're, even with all the signs, because you know how it goes with confusing signs. Your brain knows it's supposed to be a toll booth, and you read the signs, you're like, I don't know what's happening. So it's confusing, and then people don't know what to do. And then they slow down the traffic, and that's a problem. And also people drive through there in a kind of a confused way that's not great. So it's trying to just eliminate some of those problems. And also improve the technology of the toll collection mechanism. But it'd be $700,000 just to replace, like to tear down and replace. And so this is an additional, you know, $700,000-$800,000 in order to get it to $1.5 million to develop the new one. Now, the problem is that the new sign, in addition to being, let's charitably say, not great, is that it was also plagiarized. Unintentionally. According to the PNJ, and I don't have any reason to believe that the people that they're talking to have gotten this wrong, but apparently the design firm that came up with the design stole that design or borrowed it or adapted it or... No, they totally copied it from an online design that is owned by Innisfree Hotels. So a lot of the early speculation on this was, oh, sure, what did Innisfree Hotels give you to put that... Come on. Stop. Stop with that way of thinking. That's not accurate. You say, well, how did it happen? They thought it was a government-owned thing. They thought it was something the county could use, which is, you know, plausible. Now, that doesn't explain the ugliness. That's not solved by this explanation. But it does explain, you know, why did it wind up being the same color and design as something that owned by Innisfree? And the answer is, well, because they thought it was owned by them. Anyway, so... she's going to be, you know, asking the county commission about this because they asked the Tourism Development Council about this, which she sits on. She is the rep, which makes sense to have the District 4 commissioner be. It'd be basically District 4 or, I guess, what now District 1, because District 1, you know, after the redistricting that Jeff Bergosh did, got Perdido Key and Inverarity on it. But it really needs to be 1 or 4, because those are the ones that have the beaches. And, you know, obviously both of those are the primary, you know, visitor elements. Anyway, so she is the commissioner for that.
Specifically is for the Toll Plaza, the entrance to Pensacola Beach. I want to give the beach residents something that they can be proud of when they pass into their neighborhood. And I want to give our tourists something that says, welcome to our community. We are happy you're here. Thank you for vacationing with us. Please continue to spend your dollars in Escambia County. We love you. Please come back next year.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people, there's all kinds of questions around this. Again, if you read those 400 comments, and even the comments on her own page when she posted this were pretty negative. But different things about this that I want to make sure we mention. Number one is, I actually love the idea of a sign. I mean, I'm an aesthetic person. I love the idea of cool things. And, you know, when you get onto the beach, you see the water towers. And the water towers are not the best thing ever, but they're neat. I mean, they could just be ugly. You know, ECUA actually painted them to look like dolphins in water and air. That's kind of a cool logo for the, or a cool theme for the beach. You know me, I'm a big fan of, you know, visual aesthetic things. So the beach ball, I love the beach ball. I love the Pensacola Beach sailfish sign. Love that. Except for that one little part we just edited it out because of one man's vanity. Anyway, so this is a different issue. But like the welcome sign to Pensacola, the new Pelican sign, is awesome. Like, everybody loves it. It's, I mean, there might be somebody who doesn't, I don't, whatever. No, I don't like that there's a rainbow of colors on there. What's that mean? Shut up. you know, it's a gorgeous sign. So the problem is we have all these artists in this area, all these people who can make beautiful things, and with no public input, because that would have cost extra money and maybe delayed the project, we went with a thing that didn't even belong to the county that most people do not like. And so we're going to talk with Ashley about this coming up at about 7:40 this morning. And I know she's open because, you know, to you know, changing directions for a variety of reasons, you know. But we'll get something better. I'm optimistic, you know. And I like the idea of a sign. I do. I think it'll be cool if we do it right. Because you got to have something there to be, do toll collection. Otherwise, what would you put? Like one of those just metal overpass structures, you know, that something that just hangs over the road and holds the cameras. Ew. You know, like nobody wants that. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free this morning, not even seeing any delays to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are all looking good this morning. Even Highway 29 is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need air conditioning, electrical heating, you know, plumbing work done inside your home, there's one company that does all of that stuff, which kind of makes sense because they're kind of all the inside the home complicated things that can be worked on. And they do that. Peden, they'll take care of you. They're all over. I mean, they're in Fort Walton. They're in Panama City. They're in Tallahassee. They're here in Pensacola, of course, for like 55 years they've been around. Also in Baldwin County. They've recently been moving west across the state line, so they are into Mobile as well. You know, good quality service, professional installation, good products. That's what they specialize in because they're going to give you a 100% satisfaction guarantee, which means they want to make sure and do it right and do it right the first time. Also, this month, and there are only just a couple of days left in April in case you haven't been counting. That's crazy. How are we already almost to May of 2025? Anyway, right now during the month of April, if you want to remove some of the allergens, the dust, the pollen, the dander inside your home, you know, the stuff that makes you hack and cough and sneeze, they will take $250 off any indoor air quality system. You know, find out you can breathe better inside your home. Again, $250 off any of that stuff, indoor air quality systems, for the month of April at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. One last quick note, and I just say this because I think it is an important note. Jen Breyer, who is city councilwoman, sits on the TDC, and she asked the question about the proposed beach welcome sign that is also the toll collection mechanism. It just won't be a booth, okay? If you've ever driven elsewhere in Florida, you've driven under these things. You know, you go down the left side and it just, you drive through and it collects, and you go down the right side of the toll booth. It's just the left side is the idea. That's all it is, just a drive-through, okay? Anyway, she asked the right question.
I just want to know that the people will know that they're going to get assessed a toll here since it doesn't say it. Yes?
Yes, we can put up, like, toll plaza ahead. One of the things that we're running into now, and I know it because I've had friends that call me and they say, hey, I just got to your beach and I stopped at the toll booth, but there was no one to hand my dollar to. I don't know what to do. So I want to get away from that.
And that's a good note because maybe people wind up there and don't realize. And it's not the buck. I don't think anybody really cares about the buck. What happens is if you do toll by plate, you get that first use cost of, what is it? $3 or $5 or something like that. Now, if you're staying on Pensacola Beach and you're back and forth and back and forth and you're going to spend, what, $15 over the course of the week, maybe something in that vicinity, depending on how many times you leave the island and return. And then on top of that, you've got a $3 or $5, you know, you don't really care. But it is kind of annoying to not know you're going through a toll plaza, to wind up going through it, and then to get a check, you know, to get a bill in the mail that says, here, pay this, it's $5 or whatever for one time. You know, that's not the greatest thing. Anyway, so I'm on board. I like it. Well, let's just come up with a design. Because anytime you see an artistic thing, let's just find one that everybody can enjoy, or almost everybody can really appreciate. Now, I did have one person who I respect greatly. John Hutchinson had made the comment there that he didn't like there being a sign because it interferes with the visual of arriving. But I think the visual of arriving is when you're coming over the hump. And when you come over the hump, you've got the whole landscape laid out in front of you. And I know somebody who used to live on the beach always said, man, that was the moment I knew I was home. Coming over the hump on the Bob Sykes Bridge, like, oh, yeah. You know, so you don't really have that same experience when you're down at ground level, because at that point, the landscape is basically what the condos, you know, and the jungle gym structure on the left-hand side, and, you know, I mean, the restaurants, and, you know, I don't know that it would interfere with that particular thing. So, you know, I love John. I don't think he happens to be right about this particular concern. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace.
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Hall's Hardware in Milton.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Honest, are you saying the other words in your head or out loud? John, did you learn the other chant?
I did not.
Oh!
That's why I was laughing at you.
You're a Gen X kid and you don't know the, let's just say, the alternate lyrics. hey, what? We won't say the rest. 622 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Really? You've never heard that before?
No. Oh, okay. I'm sheltered in the South.
Yeah, all right. Maybe I'm weird. I mean, it could be a Midwestern thing. I don't know.
I think it is. There's a lot of things that I'm discovering that are Midwestern.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you grew up with it, you think it's normal for everybody. And,
right.
Or you didn't grow up with it and you think it's abnormal for everybody, or, you know, you don't know, or, you know, whatever. So, all right. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David, are you familiar with the alternate echo lyrics to...
Yes.
He's from Iowa. He's from Iowa.
Yeah, but he's also young.
But it doesn't matter. Midwest thing. They passed
it love
down.
That you're gesticulating with your hands.
I know.
So vociferously in order to make the point.
Maybe it is a Midwest thing. Maybe. I don't know. Very popular at some of the
fair
places
enough.
I stand.
Fair enough. Yeah.
A large-scale DEA raid resulted in more than 100 arrests at an illegal nightclub in Colorado Springs over the weekend. The DEA says they detained undocumented immigrants and active-duty U.S. service members during that raid. Police still.
How were there 100 illegal immigrants at one disco?
Well, it said there were 100 people detained. I don't know that they were all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think that also included the service members,
right,
and just the
enough.
Random people who were
right,
there.
Fair enough.
Police looking for a suspect still in a shooting at a North Carolina university that left one dead and six injured on Sunday. That happened at Elizabeth City State University in the northeastern part of the state. University officials say one 24-year-old adult was killed. He was not a student. Other victims were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. And Kim Kardashian preparing to testify in person in a Paris courtroom today. She'll be facing the man accused of robbing her at gunpoint back in 2016. The robbery happened during Paris Fashion Week when five men dressed as police officers broke into her apartment there. She was bound and held at gunpoint while they stole nearly $7 million worth of jewelry.
Yeah, pretty horrifying stuff, really. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, John, you're just getting trashed on the comments here.
And I kind of figured that much.
We have a longtime local says the alternate Money Money lyrics were definitely a thing here, too. Somebody says, no, 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 I grew up in the North and I know the alternative lyrics. So I guess the problem for you is they just didn't let you off the commune when you were a kid.
They didn't. They wouldn't let me drink that Kool-Aid.
It's the other way around. You drink the Kool-Aid on the commune.
I know, but they didn't let me
drink it. It's confusing the way you've structured that quip.
But it's okay.
Bad traffic on the five. John Pickens.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Start to see just a minor slowdown on Highway 29 as you approach 10 Mile Road. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right. I feel like
logic and reason person.
That's right. I feel like we're in this vicinity right now. You have kids. How many kids do you have? I have two right?
Dose.
Okay. And you gave them normal names or weird names?
I gave them normal names.
Yeah, because you don't hate your kids.
Right, Austin and Brandon.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah, Spencer, Sage, Ethan, very normal names. We actually tried to pick names that were a little bit not the super common. Ethan, of course, is perennially one of the most common names. But, you know, we tried to pick names that were just a little bit different. Of course, the problem is Sage is one that's now gotten stolen by girls. And Spencer is kind of a, you know, sometimes. Ethan's still at least a boy's name. But, you know, you got a whole lot of considerations that go into picking a kid's name. You got to pick a name that, you know, you can yell well, okay? You know, you got to be able to yell it well, especially with the middle name involved. You know, you got to test out a good name at volume to make sure. Because when you're angry, it's all three names, and it's got to be good to yell.
Okay? And you did that?
Oh, absolutely, of course.
Okay.
You know, it needs to not rhyme with anything bad.
True.
You can't solve for all bullies, but you can solve for some things. And also, you know, better if you don't pick a name that's, you know, like rhymes with Madoff. You know, you don't want names that are like easy connection to, you know, mass murderers, tyrants, dictators, serial killers, or perverts, right? You know, just kind of, okay. So you do your best. Some parents do not get this. Some parents they lean in the direction of the skid, and not in a good way. They try to give their kids super weird names. Oh, I'm going to make my kid unique. You're going to make your kid bullied. That's what you're going to do. Okay, so then when people don't know how to pronounce the name that you've made weird, sometimes they get angry, like this British mom on TikTok. And can I note in it? No, I'll tell you. Anyway, this British mom, the spelling of the name is E-L-A-E, which is not a word you've ever seen before. E-L-A-E. You want to take a crack at this?
Elay?
Yeah, it's a pretty normal guess. Yeah. You're wrong, and
of
you're
course.
Part of the problem, you stupid boy.
American.
People still don't know how to read my daughter's name. 9 newspapers it's been in now since my post went viral, and people still don't know how to read it.
Okay, first of all, somebody's married to her.
That's their choice.
It's 2025. I didn't know that people wouldn't be able to understand basic English still. We've seen the doctor again the other day, and it was the same doctor, and he pronounced it wrong again. He called her Ella, and then just looked at me and went, I've pronounced it wrong, and I was like, yeah, it's like the city. It's pronounced like the city. Again, another blank look on the face.
It's like the city. L-A. E-L-A-E. L-A. That's how you say it, L.A. Not Ellie, not Elay, not Eli. L.A. Like the C.A. And she goes on. By the way, I'll note for the record that I have yet to watch any video on TikTok and think to myself, oh, these are the smart people I need to be paying attention to. Not one time. Where do most 30-under-year-olds get their news these days?
Most people don't understand basic English. I'm going to break it down for you. So this is her name, and it's pronounced like the city, Los Angeles, so L-A. So the E and the L make L. The A and the E make A. What are people not getting about that? What are you not understanding? I don't get it. It clearly says L-A.
This part right here.
What are people not getting about that?
So you give your kid a weird name that nobody knows how to pronounce, and then you're angry at them for your dumb choice. You know, I've never seen a person mess up Mark, John, David. If you give them a weird name, people are going to mess it up, guaranteed.
Comments of women that have said, oh, I've asked my 7-year-old daughter to pronounce it and she got it right. So why are your full-grown adults not getting it right?
Full-grown adults.
Look, I try to be charitable and kind and, you know, a Christian, because supposedly I am one. But when you clap your hands at people when you're making a point, look, this is not encouraging the behavior, but let me guarantee you make whoever you're talking to just want out.
Come on, Andrew.
They're going to clap and not their hands, okay?
Come on, Andrew.
You are so wrong. So wrong. Be more respectful. It's L.A. like this to A. Come on. No one ever won an argument with the hand clapping emphasis. 100% alienating.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Congress is back after a 2-week break as Republicans work to pass a spending bill by Memorial Day. Top House Democrat Hakeem Jeffries at a Capitol Hill sit-in says for Republicans to cut as much spending as they want.
That means Medicaid. Yeah. That's the only way to do it.
Another goal is to extend tax cuts.
If we do not get this done, we're going to have the largest tax increase in American history.
Oklahoma Congressman Tom Cole on Fox. At least one person's killed, several injured in a hit-and-run boat collision with a ferry in Clearwater, Florida.
Public Information Officer Rob Shaw says the ferry made its way to land following the collision.
Firefighters had to go into the water and get and help some people. There were also Good Samaritans who were picking up people and taking them in their boats.
The U.S. Coast Guard and Florida Fish and Wildlife are now investigating.
Fox's Ted Linder, no word on any arrests, but the other boat has reportedly now been found. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 70 degrees and clear skies this morning. A Crestview man has died after an accident in Walton County last week. FHP says that happened when the 27-year-old's SUV ran off the road and into a grassy median after attempting to correct the SUV's path. The vehicle rolled. The driver was ejected. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene of that accident. Family members have identified the victim of a homicide late last week. Deputies found a body inside of a vehicle near a large field near Courier Place in Salem Drive. That was last Friday.
There's never a car in that field. It's just a big empty field. It's not like a road or a driveway or anywhere you park. So as soon as anybody would see it, if you lived in this neighborhood, you would be suspicious.
And that resident lives near the scene, talked with Channel 3. The victim, now identified as 20-year-old Andrew Sanders, his mother announced his passing on social media. Sanders had been last seen about a mile away from that location. He was found inside of a gray Chevy Malibu, and that vehicle was reportedly not his and didn't have any tags or identifying stickers. The case being investigated as a homicide. If you have any information, contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Well, a local cold case mystery had a big breakthrough last week when investigators identified a man found dead on Palafox Street. And this was all the way back in 1989 as Charles Collier. That identification was made after local authorities submitted a DNA sample to a high-tech lab specializing in DNA identification, Othram. They say they ran it through their process, which identifies hundreds of thousands of DNA markers and can identify relatives as distant as a sixth cousin. They submitted that to a consumer database and found Collier's brother. Othram's Dr. Michael Vogan tells News Radio that their testing methods are solving more cases every day.
I think we have over 500 now publicly announced, verifiable solves with our law enforcement partners. And we've been doing this for about 6 years. So, you know, we're coming up, and that's numbers growing. I think we had four announced yesterday. And this is our 39th in Florida alone.
And for folks interested in DNA and cold case mysteries, they do run a website with their latest case announcements at DNASolves.com. A shooting in Fort Walton Beach has left one man dead, another injured. Okaloosa County deputies say that happened near Shirley Drive and Mailer Street on Saturday. That shooting still under investigation. Officials say more information will be released as soon as it is available. Well, the student union at Florida State University reopens this afternoon, a couple of weeks now after the deadly campus shooting there. FSU President Richard McCullough said on Saturday the student union is opening at 3 p.m. today. McCullough said several seniors at the university requested it reopen for their final week at FSU. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today, nice and spring-like, with temperatures warming up into the 80s. We will be seeing mostly sunny skies with a chance at a stray isolated shower. As you head into the evening, temperatures are going to be staying warm with temperatures overnight dropping near 67. Going into Tuesday, 83 degrees for that high, and by Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 70 right now. Beautiful day. And let's check in with John Pickens for our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Not seeing any accidents to let you know about. Let's see here. On 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see maybe a 10-minute delay in that area. But other than that, traffic is looking good this morning. Not seeing anything else to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 6:36. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors look ahead to a busy week of economic data, including readings on jobs, economic growth, and inflation. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was flat at 4.266%. Polls show that most Americans disapprove of President Trump's handling of the presidency. CNN reports Trump's approval rating, which hovers between 39 and 45% in three different surveys, is the lowest for any newly elected president at the 100-day mark in more than seven decades. Senior Chinese officials have outlined plans to support jobs and help exporters while hinting at the possibility of more stimulus in light of rising trade tensions with the U.S. The briefing came after the Human Resources Ministry announced subsidies for companies that hire recent graduates but did not specify an amount. Futures are slightly lower as investors brace for an early earnings week. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 20. That's your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Smokestack Band. They're a trio of musicians that have been playing all over Pensacola for 50-plus years. Join them for a multicultural musical experience at Bands on the Beach. We'll see you Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Familiar with the White House Correspondents Association press dinner?
Oh, yes, I am.
You ever watch it in its entirety?
I do, but I missed this one because I was watching, you know.
Something else?
Yeah.
Anything else? Paint dry, maybe? You were watching paint dry and it was exciting? More exciting than this. So, the White House Correspondents Association press dinner, or the White House Press Correspondents Dinner, whatever we want to call it, the Nerd Prom is what they call it in D.C. because it's
They do call it that?
They call, oh, yeah, it's Nerd Prom. Yeah, because it's all the people who probably never did get to go to prom. And they So the premise of this historic event every year is that the White House Correspondents Association, that's the folks who kind of control who goes into the White House and they kind of run the press room. At least they used to. They don't anymore, interestingly. Under the new administration, of course, that's run by the White House. So that's why they're putting out a list every couple of weeks about who's going to get in and which access and what level and all that. And they're rotating around. They're including new media in there, especially right-wing media, to kind of balance the scales or so they think. Anyway, that's all beside the point. What makes this entertaining every year is because you have a bunch of journalists show up, and then you have a comedian headliner, and you have the president. And the headliner, I forget who goes first. I think the headliner speaks and then the president speaks. I think that's the order. It's been a couple of years. Anyway, and of course, it's funny because you have a comedian who tells jokes. And they're usually very good jokes. It's usually like the what Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update aspires to be. And it's long because it's, you know, like 15 minutes or so that they do a set, you know, a long set. And they're usually very, especially for people like me who are really into the news and people who really pay attention, it's jokes for us, okay? Jokes for you. If you like to listen to this kind of a show, it's jokes for you. So you, that's why I usually play a bunch of them. And then the president typically speaks, and the president usually says something somewhat serious, but mostly what the president does is also make jokes, usually self-deprecating jokes. And the president, you know, and the president's doing their best, and usually even the president is funny. Okay, that's the idea. The president is at least somewhat funny. It's one of my favorite events of the year to watch. The Alfred Smith dinner is another one where they kind of get close, but it's not usually as good as the White House Correspondents Association dinner. Well, this was bad. And it was bad because, A, the comedian they were going to have, they canceled. Because that comedian made something, you know, some extra salty comment about the president. And the White House pitched a fit, and then they canceled the comedian. But the White House also didn't show up. Right? The president didn't go. And Trump has a habit of not going to these things. He's actually, he says, one story anyway, is that a joke made by Obama about him in 2006, if I remember correctly, was what inspired him to run for president, because Obama made fun of him if he had taken, because he was in attendance, and they typically roast people in attendance a little bit, and he was in attendance and he made some joke about how gaudy the White House would look with gold everywhere if Trump were in it. And it was, he says that's when he decided to run. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's the story, okay? And he doesn't go. And of course, he doesn't go in part because, you know, it's fake news and he calls them the enemy of the people and the enemy of the state and they tell lies and all of this stuff and all the enmity between the press. But that was always one of the beautiful things about the White House press dinner, was because the president, whether it was Bush or Reagan, I mean, Reagan always went. And Reagan usually showed them up by being classy and funny and self-deprecating, and it was brilliant. It's an opportunity to fight back. And Trump just doesn't. Instead, he goes, I mean, look, in this particular case, going to the Pope's funeral. I mean, it's understandable, okay? But that's also a weird one because Trump's at the funeral of a relatively liberal, and I say that on purpose because I think he's far less liberal than people characterize him as, but, you know, somebody who the Pope had criticized as being not a good Christian, not a Christian, having policies that were contrary to the people. You know, like, so it's kind of an awkward one. But the problem is not the White House Correspondents' Dinner without Trump. It can still be done. The problem is not as cool when you're making fun of somebody who's not there and they're not making fun of you back. You know, at the end of a roast, typically the roastee gets to speak, and it's usually their chance to fight back. So they didn't have a comedian, and they didn't have Trump. What they had was Eugene Daniels. And if you've never heard of Eugene Daniels, I understand, I hadn't either. Eugene Daniels is the president of the White House Correspondents Association. And Eugene, bless his heart, is not an entertainer. And Eugene, bless his heart, is a very sincere fellow. And Eugene, say it with me, bless his heart, took the opportunity to give a straightforward speech about what the dinner's about and who the president is and who the press is. And it's not that anything he said was really wrong. And yes, I'll share some clips with you in a second. It's just so profoundly boring compared to what normally is an extremely entertaining event. So I'll share it with you in a second, and you can judge for yourself whether you thought that it was wonderful or not. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. On 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're starting to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10, seeing maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay there. But other than that, traffic is actually rolling smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, Sean. Oh, and by the way, somebody texts in that, you know, Trump gets roasted every day by the media. All the time. And, you know, they make a good comment that roasting generally is predicated on at least a little bit of respect and love. You know, you can't really make fun of. That's why a lot of times the SNL stuff falls flat, because they hate him. Hate is a terrible basis for comedy, right? But love, at least a little bit of love, a little bit of respect, and then you can make fun. You know, then you can, like, you make fun of your friends, right? The only people I don't make fun of are people I can't stand. Yeah, that's how you can tell. If I'm around you long enough, I don't make fun of you. Oh, I don't really respect you much at all. That's a weird way to show love. Welcome to Gen X. Anyway, so back to this nerd prom, back to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Yes, it's true. Trump showing up. The problem is roasting him is just hate. And so it's not going to be as funny, at least unless it's done well. Anyway, so Eugene Daniels, the president of the association, he's going to give us a speech. He's going to give us a lecture. You ever have somebody where they're giving a graduation speech and you're like, I guess we had to give it to him somewhere. Okay, here goes. And again, it's not that what he said was wrong or bad per se. It's just so.
We don't invite presidents of the United States to this because it's for them. We don't invite them because we want to cozy up to them or curry favor. We don't only extend invites to the presidents who say they love journalists or who say they are defenders of the First Amendment and a free press. We invite them to remind them that they should be. We invite them to demonstrate that those of us who have chosen the public service of journalism aren't doing it because we love flights on Air Force One or walking into the Oval Office. It's to remind them why a strong Fourth Estate is essential for democracy.
Is this what it feels like to be mansplained to? Because that's what it feels like. This over-enunciated explanation of why we do this. You know why we do this. This is...
Why, at the end of the day, it's good for them. Even among the most free nations, the WHCA, what we do is unique. It is an example of American exceptionalism. Though we don't have the current president with us tonight, we wanted to hear from some of those who have been gracious enough to sit among the White House press corps.
I thought they couldn't make it worse. I actually wasn't going to watch this because I'm like, I'm going to hate this so much. And then I read a couple of the the quotes, and I thought, oh, I should just see if there's anything redeeming it. Then they played for, I don't know, 3 minutes maybe, clips from past presidents, Biden and Bush and Clinton and other Bush and Obama and Reagan and everybody being funny and magnanimous and charming and witty, which I think they thought was an insult to Trump, showing him that everybody else has played this game. Why won't you play this game? And of course, you know, Trump doesn't play people's games, right? Okay. I thought it was more of an insult to them because it showed how entertaining this event can be in the past. And by contrast, how utterly boring and straight, how it, and usually it's not an insult, but it's just so sincere. You know, sometimes people who are so sincere are so uninteresting.
We journalists are a lot of things. We are competitive and pushy. We are impatient. And sometimes we think we know everything. But we're also human. We miss our families and significant life moments in service to this job. We care deeply about accuracy and take seriously the heavy responsibility of being stewards of the public's trust. What we are not is the opposition. What we are not is the enemy of the people, and what we are not is the enemy of the state.
I don't know that everybody's cheering at this moment. I think a lot of people feel like they're supposed to cheer, and a lot of them are like, bro, stop. Sit down. Stop. You're making it worse. You know what would have been interesting? You know, if you're going to go this path, if you're going to go the path of not having a comedian, the president's not there, and you're going to try to do something sincere, you know what would have been really interesting? Challenging the WHCA, challenging themselves, challenging their coverage of half of the country's leader. You know, it would have been interesting if he would have said, you know, why isn't the president here? We like to say it's because he's this and this and this. But to be honest, don't we bear a little bit of responsibility? Could we cover the White House more charitably, more favorably? Do we have bias in our midst? Because if you're not challenging, like, what are you challenging here? It would have been interesting if it would have been a little introspective. Friends, fellow reporters, people who care about the truth, who believe in the Fourth Estate, we are struggling. We have lost our way. Oh, I understand that many of you, myself included, cannot stand this man, think that he's really doing horrible things to our country. But if we are to retain our position as the Fourth Estate, as the safeguard and caretakers of democracy, then we have an obligation. We have an obligation to be entertaining. We have an obligation to be interesting. We have an obligation to be perceived as fair. And many people do not perceive us this way. Many people believe that we are liars. Many people believe that and I understand that this president doesn't help that, and he doesn't give us any grace on any of these things. But do we give him grace? I mean, that would have been a really interesting speech. But no. Instead, we get sort of strident, self-righteous, and sincere.
I hope you leave tonight feeling how I am. Proud. Proud to be a journalist, proud to be someone who covers the White House, and damn proud to be a member of the White House Correspondents Association.
Yeah. Well, great. Who'd you pull along? All right, 437-1620, a couple of quick tests I want to get before we take a break. Somebody says, call it blandsplaining. Oh, interesting. All right. He says, the gall of them, let's see, that claiming that they're human and that Trump is, you know, evil, wicked, horrible, terrible. Somebody else says, did you say you can't stand Trump? At times it's true. No, I mean, I voted for him, so I don't. I mean, he drives me crazy. I don't think that's any secret. Welcome to the show. Somebody says, half the country's leader, Andrew, when did you stop being interested in the representation of government? Oh, I just meant that half the people voted for him. As in, if you're the news and you pretend like half the people don't exist, you're missing an opportunity a little bit. And also, are you really serving the country? That, I mean, Don't overread. You know what I'm saying? 437-1620. Because, Andrew, their commitment is the truth, facts, and freedom. Administration says things that are opposed to all of that. Just because half the country voted for him does not mean that he is operating anything close to American values. Half the country is just plain wrong. A lot of people like totalitarians, too. Okay. I mean, doesn't seem like you're bringing a lot of capacity for introspection here either. I mean, what? Think about it. It could be. I mean, it's logic, right? I thought logic. It could be logically possible that half the country is just completely sold off to a terrible leader, evil. They don't see it for what it is. I mean, that's one possibility. Of course, they think that about you too, right? I mean, that's part of the problem. We're trying to solve this problem. Could be that half of the country is frustrated with a variety of things they see being offered by the other side. Everything from immigration to the sexual anarchy agenda to incompetent leaders, and then, you know, this completely foisted upon them alternative with somebody who was even worse than the former president. I mean, like, do some introspection. I do it for us all the time. If all you ever do is blame the other side for being evil or idiots or evil idiots, how are you ever going to get smarter? How are you ever going to be willing to reach across the line and pull anybody to your side? Or are you just going to sit around and talk to the people who agree with you and, you know, get positive reinforcement from your intellectual reinforcement club? That's what happens in journalism. That's what happens in the university. That's what happens in the conservative talk sphere. This is a problem all over the place. So I try to get you to talk to each other and think about these ideas that you wouldn't normally take seriously. 655, and now always is there a way to do it better, which in my opinion should be the goal. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I-10, I-110 actually look really good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, all the way.
Hey, all the way.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 10th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna and runs up Palafox, along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Hey, I like that hat, man. You sell men's clothes? Where you got that?
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the work of selecting a new pope is set to begin now, just over a week from now. The Vatican announcing that the process will begin on May 7th. Members of the College of Cardinals under age 80 are allowed to vote. The winner has to be selected by a two-thirds majority vote. Apparently, a college education does not equal high pay anymore, especially for students in the arts. New report out from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York found graduates who major in education, social work, or the arts generally earn the lowest median incomes 5 years after they finish school.
Is this
a secret?
News?
No. I thought this was well, though.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah. I went to school for theater design. Okay, well, you know, if you didn't turn that into Hollywood. I mean, it's social work, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Anyway, go ahead.
And police in Canada say 11 people have died after a vehicle plowed into a crowded festival in Vancouver, British Columbia. This happened on Saturday. Investigators say dozens of people were injured when an SUV sped into a celebration at a Filipino block party. A 30-year-old man with a history of mental illness was arrested and charged with second-degree murder.
All right, thanks so much, David. Yeah, I mean, I think I do okay in spite of having a philosophy degree. Well, I guess in my job right now it works pretty well. But yeah, you know, sometimes education is about making money. Sometimes education is about making a better person. Ideally, it could be about both. It is not always about both. Hey, if you have a company, you employ people, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you have to manage human resources and payroll and all that, and it's going swimmingly, like you're super happy, then fine, you know, ignore me for a second. If, on the other hand, it's not going great, or maybe it's going okay, but you wonder if maybe you could save a little bit of money, give your employees some choices, or just somebody else can take that responsibility off your plate, this is why you call Torgerson Causey. They are a locally owned and operated for more than two decades employee benefits agency. We work with them for the last 4 years here at News Radio and Cat Country, and they have been great. Great to us. They give us choices we didn't have, better plans than we had, much better customer service than we ever had before. So very, very good to us. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. No cost to have them come and take a look at what you're doing. Hey, you know that proposed Pensacola Beach welcome sign / toll booth? We're going to talk about that with Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger coming up at 7:40.